Auto Intel Summit 2024 is a three-day live event packed featuring extensive speakers and remarketing, credit repossessions, inventory inspections, AI, EV, and data. It's a lot and made me nervous. But on this show tonight, we're going to feature several of the speakers. So please join the live chat, say hello, make new friends, learn from the best on ATI Auto Business. What's up, ecosystem? Welcome back to ATI Auto Business Tuesday Nights Live, where everyone learns more about the automotive industry. So let's get started with some top industry news. Please do feel welcome to the show tonight. Each week feels like a brand new week. It's been hundreds of shows, and yet I'm excited like it's the first time, and that's really cool. So please do stick around for industry news that's coming up in a few minutes. Baltimore Port Questions, Assertus acquires Guardian Auto Transport, Toyota says no, we're not going to do Amazon's type selling, and then after the news, we've got Joe Overby, Nick Zulovich of Cherokee Media with me again live here to talk about Auto Intel Summit, and we're going to kick off with Jeremiah Wheeler. He is a featured speaker at Auto Intel Summit in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's later this month. So this is the Auto Intel Summit Energy Show. I like to do the show before the show, and that's what this is. As you know, trade shows, there's a lot of work that goes into those. So it is nice to extend the life of all that work, all the professionals, the agenda, the sessions, the speakers, the marketing, the sponsors. And so that's what we're doing here tonight. So please do feel welcome. If you've got an extra like, please do leave one for me. Thank you so much. You can click share. You can click copy. You can grab that YouTube link. All right, here we go. Let's go into, I won't do the drum roll yet because this is Auto Intel Summit 2024. So glad Jeremiah Wheeler can join us tonight. First time on ATI. Jeremiah is the president of DRN MV Track. He's going to be talking more about DRN data, the driven vehicle stories, the VIN, the platform, the intelligence, portfolio management, collections, recovery, crime prevention, fraud, over 200 million monthly scans of VINs. There's so much to learn. Yes, it's Auto Intel Summit. If you are lucky enough to go, you should. This is a really, you know, it's upscale, but it's intimate, and it's a nice size, very professional, and you will learn about fintech. There is no way you can go to AIS and come back and not know more about fintech. You'll be telling everybody about it. So we got some speakers. We have several speakers on tonight's show. This is really neat. And shout out to the sponsors. Listen, if you don't know right now, you're like, what, Jay? I don't know what you're talking about. You do know some of these companies, and you may want to learn more about them. What are they about? Who's on the team? And what do they do at the show? So stick around. You're going to learn more. We've got Joe Overby. He is a senior editor with Cherokee Media. We've got Nick Zulovich. You know Joe and Nick. You know the podcast guys, the Auto Remarketing Podcast. And so we're going to kick off with them here in about 10 minutes. We've also got Alan with AIM. AIM is a recon service, factory in a box. We're going to learn more about that. Alan's with us. Here's AIMRecon.com. You can go there right now. We've got John Foley with us tonight. John Foley is with Recharged. So we're going to learn more about Recharged. He's a speaker at Auto Intel Summit. Micah Tindor with Kelly Blue Book, who was on the show a couple months ago. He's a featured speaker at Auto Intel Summit. He'll be on the show tonight. Neil Alliston is with Raven. That's AI Vehicle Inspections. Neil is a featured speaker at Auto Intel Summit. He'll be on the show tonight. And also you can learn more about Raven. John Passamato, Drive It Away. He is a featured speaker at Auto Intel Summit. He is on the show tonight. You're going to learn more about Drive It Away. So this is a huge show, and we want you to know your ecosystem, whatever sectors of the vertical you have questions about. So I was just talking to somebody who's like, you know, so what, tell me more about what you do, what your business. I said, well, what I do is, I see a lot of media that's focused on a vertical. So I made a media to try to connect the verticals. And he said, oh, okay, so you're kind of a bridge. That's right, we're a bridge. ATI Auto Business is a bridge. So if there's a vertical you want to learn more about, you can kick back and relax. As somebody else said, this show is super chill, and it is a chill show. And if you like thinking differently, you will love ATI. I did last Tuesday night. How did I get here? Thought it was time. You know, Jay, what's your story? I tried to get into, you know, how did I get here? That was last Tuesday's show. I've watched it a couple times. I actually thought it was pretty good. But of course I'm biased. And then this Thursday, we're going to do a show about brokers. What do brokers do better than carriers? I know, can you say that? Ah, yeesh. Well, we're going to talk about it. This is going to be a great show. Let's get into the news. Here we go. Okay, so we know that. By the way, mic check 1, 2, 3. We're good? Hey, what's going on? Repo, Ryan, Brianna, what's going on, you guys? Do we have any trolls in the live chat? No, we're okay? All right, cool. Oh, what is Jay talking about? Huh. Well, stay tuned, I guess. Automakers to face shipping disruptions following Baltimore Bridge collapse. Now, so this headline is certain. Sounds pretty certain that automakers are facing disruptions. That would seem to be true. Baltimore port disclosure puts truck turbines, so car haulers, in a bind. Could slow some deliveries, so that puts dealers in a bind. And then I saw this headline. Minimal disruption. Well, by the way, that's an amazing shot. I don't think it is minimal. And I think it's going to be maximal. And I think we're going to find out more over time. It's, you know, this way with a disaster. And it is a disaster. Luckily, not many lives were lost. It sounds like they had about 90 seconds warning, which is great. It's amazing what you can do in 90 seconds. And so let's look at some of the stats. I'm actually going to dive into this further on another show, but here's a few stats. According to the Maryland Department of Transportation, it's the top port in the U.S. for vehicle transport, with approximately 40% of all shipments auto-related. So that sounds like that could be big impact. Baltimore is the 9th busiest port in the nation for international cargo, but it leads the U.S. ports in roll-on, roll-off, which is basically goods with wheels composed largely of automobiles, but including construction and agricultural equipment. That sounds pretty impactful. During a briefing of the bridge collapse, a representative said state and federal officials estimated the port's closure would cost the economy at least $15 million a day. Sounds pretty impactful. And even Joe Biden said it's the top port in America for both imports and exports of autos and light trucks. Around 850,000 vehicles go through the port every year. Sounds pretty impactful. So we're going to be talking more about that, where automotive meets logistics and the tragedies that ensue. So we'll be talking about it. We're going to do a show on industry logistics about it. So stay tuned for that. This just dropped. Assertus acquires Guardian Auto Transport. If you haven't already heard the news, breaking. I think this was yesterday. Logistics as a service platform, Assertus, made its 6th acquisition, announcing it Tuesday that it purchased Guardian Auto Transport, strengthening its platform with best-in-class logistics, now supporting large format vehicles. They keep adding to the suite. of service offerings. This continues a year-long line of acquisitions for Assertus and parent company Metrogistics, which acquired MetroTitle, Amerifleet, McNutt, Vehicle, TMS, and RCG Logistics. Strategic partnerships and investments are core to Assertus' ability to deliver a full suite of vehicle logistics services and lasting relationships with fleet management companies. There you go. FMCs, right? How are you going to service an FMC? By offering many aspects of business. BlackBook integrates PowerSports tool. Found this interesting. So in the past several years, I've heard PowerSports and RV more than I used to. And there's something to that, especially if BlackBook's integrating a PowerSports tool. BlackBook announced its integration with MotoMate 123, a cutting-edge trade appraisal and used inventory management tool designed for the PowerSports industry. BlackBook's integration will provide dealers with a more comprehensive view of the market, allowing them to make better decisions when it comes to buying and selling vehicles, allowing its clients to appraise, price, and turn inventory at their dealerships quickly and easily. Dealers can also generate instant quotes to consumers on their website for increased lead capture. PowerSports. Saw this on the front page, Auto Remarketing. Car Guru's latest consumer analysis shows continued push toward online buying and selling. So that, see, okay, right, that seems right, probably obvious or whatever. But Toyota says no. I mean, maybe to their own online, but definitely not Amazon, because Hyundai got the attention recently with Amazon. Toyota won't be following Hyundai onto Amazon's shopping platform anytime soon. Hyundai began selling vehicles on Amazon in the U.S. in January as part of a pilot partnership, but Toyota prefers its SmartPath digital retailing tool and its monogram counterpart at Lexus. It is dangerous, he said, to go outside the dealership system. And this, I believe, is what he's talking about. I think this will make very many people on LinkedIn happy. We are very, we're a very dealer-oriented system. In fact, I looked into, there was a show I was doing, and I looked into the past, right? There was a time where that had to be developed, and where OEMs were very interested in developing, helping to develop the dealership system. And then over time, it seems like it's become a tug of war. It's like carrier broker, OEM dealer. Just can't please everybody all the time, can you? Now with other online shopping systems, AI, smart vehicles, gosh, what will happen? Stay tuned, I guess. It's part of the joy of the ride. And finally, I saw this. High rates and negative equity hamper Q1 auto financing. When I saw this headline, now subprime is one of the published sources, shall I say, of Cherokee Media. And so Nick Zulovich is going to know more about this. This is going to be, I would imagine, a topic at Auto Intel Summit as well. So we're lucky this is the Auto Intel Summit Energy Show. And do me a favor, stick around right after this. We're going to be live with Joe and Nick. We'll be right back.
The evolution of transportation. In the beginning of car shipping, there were stone tablets and woolly mammoths, very primitive vehicle delivery. Then, horse-powered haulers with mile-long paper BOLs causing enormous time hassle and massive stacks of paperwork for dealers, shippers, and carriers. What were we thinking? But now, with modern technology and cell phone mobile apps, simply click a button, order quick, reliable auto transport to pick up and deliver your cars safely and on time. It's instant car shipping at the best market rate. Start saving money today and get signed up. Visit OneAuctionView.com.
Are you completely stressed out from all the calls and the contracts and the verifications of loads where nobody ever answers the phone? Call Murphy Auto Dispatch Services today. Murphy Auto Dispatch Services has over 15 years in the transport industry. We are your office while you are on the road. We book, we verify, and we bill out your loads for you. We have an excellent accounting staff and an even better dispatch team. Give us a call today at 417-273-0021, or if you want to email me, it's murphyautotransport31@yahoo.com. Give us a call today.
Need help shipping a car or keeping a carrier loaded? Murphy Auto Transport Services is a fully licensed broker and offers professional dispatch services. Visit murphyautotransportservices.com. Links are in the live chat. Okay, here we go. Speaking of March Madness, we're in April Madness now. Gentlemen, can you see me and hear me okay?
Yes,
loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Awesome. Thank you for taking the time. It's great to have you back. It's wonderful to be talking to you. For anybody that doesn't know, Joe, will start with you. Please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Jay, thank you so much for having Nick and me again. We always enjoy chatting with you, and it's fun to be friends of the program now and have after a few guest appearances here. But I'm Joe Overby. I'm the senior editor of Autoroo Marketing and Autoroo Marketing Canada at Cherokee Media Group. And I work with Nick and Bill and Justine and a few others to help sort of set up the agenda for Auto Intel Summit and all of our conferences like Used Car Week, Canada's Used Car Week. And as a side note, I am a very proud and excited NC State alum, and we've got two teams, our men's and women's basketball team, in the Final Fours this weekend. So go Wolfpack. Pretty excited.
I concur. Go Wolfpack. You know, I've been watching. My oldest son is in sports media.
Oh, cool.
And he has gotten me into, yeah, because I really, you know, I wasn't watching a lot before. But, yeah, I'm really into it. I'm loving it. And, yes, I consider you a friend of the program. It's awesome to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, so cool. Nick, please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Hello, everyone. Nick Zolovich here. Very similar bio to my esteemed colleague, Joe Overby, also senior editor at Cherokee Media Group. Do our best to keep tabs on what's happening on this ever-changing car business, be it wholesale, retail, finance, compliance, collections, etc. Never a dull moment, to say the least. And very grateful to be back on with you, Jay, to talk about what's happening nowadays, as well as the great event that we have on tap beginning April 23rd in Cary, North Carolina, the Auto Intel Summit, the National Remarketing Conference. Thanks again for having us.
Man, thank you so much. Let's do this then. Let's go ahead and I think I have it queued up here. I have a screen. Let's bring up the Auto Intel Summit. This is part of the agenda screen. Let's go to the homepage. Gentlemen, what is Auto Intel Summit?
Sure, I can start and Nick chime in as well. But so, you know, several years ago, we started this conference sort of to look at the increased role that technology and innovation was playing in automotive, whether it's, you know, initially it's sort of, you know, focused on what you talked about in the headlines there a couple minutes ago, Jay, you know, digital retail and then also fintech, very, very related fields. That sort of got the ball rolling of, you know, the changing way that consumers purchased and looked at vehicles, financed vehicles. And then we really expanded it to cover, you know, a lot more ground in terms of, you know, electric vehicle, the CASE acronym, or ACES, you know, the autonomous, connected, electric, and shared mobility of it all. And then additionally, just looking at the, you know, well, none of this happens without the investment, you know, into these companies, into these startups, and even into, you know, incumbent players that are, you know, expanding their businesses through technology. So the kind of investment piece of it has become a major part of it as well. And I believe it was either last year or the year before, the years all kind of run together now, but we added what we're calling the National Remarketing Conference. We initially called it the National Remarketing Conference Spring Summit, and now we're just kind of combining it with the Auto Intel Summit. But The Nashville Marketing Conference has been our company's flagship event, sort of the cornerstone of Used Car Week, and we've had it, you know, every November. And you know, we wanted to keep the conversation and content going in the spring, and so now we've added a portion, dedicating a portion of the agenda to you know, the wholesale auto auctions, remarketing, consigners, with a tech and investment kind of bent to it, but very you know, very in tune with what we talk about at NRC in the fall. And then Nick, you know, if you want to talk more about the kind of the emerging eight and auto fin side of it as well.
Absolutely. That is one of the intriguing components that we've blended into the event, is an award program we've called the Emerging Eight. This year will be the sixth cohort of startups and other firms that have been highlighted. It runs the gamut of what they do, from very much involved in auto financing, as well as in the wholesale space, and as well as in compliance and other areas of automotive. And it's been for this current issue of the magazine that's about to land, along with highlighting this year's award recipients. We did a little bit of a look back on some of the past honorees, and it was interesting to reflect on some of the journeys that some of these shops have made. Some have been acquired by large corporate entities that we all know. Some continue to blaze their own trail, forging industry partnerships and such. And then some others have had their challenges, as many startups do, especially navigating through the pandemic. That was a black swan event that I'm not sure any of us anticipated, and were impacted greatly, to say the least. So it's an intriguing part of what we try to bring together. And Steve Greenfield from Automotive Ventures, that's certainly well known, and definitely very grateful to call him an industry friend on behalf of our shop, is kind of a conversation leader in that endeavor, since he's very much involved in the investment world, as Joe mentioned, as well as working with startups and that sort of thing. So it's it's gathering of about 300-500 folks, not quite as big as Used Car Week, but still a sizable event. And I think I can safely say, Joe, that you and I are probably last and second to last in the intelligence chart of of attendees. It's definitely a very forward thinking.
No, that's how I felt when I was there. The brains
very much
in
a
the
forward
room.
Thinking, yes. Highly intelligent crowd, to say the least. That's not only on stage, but mingling as attendees as well. So we're very excited for what we're looking to orchestrate over a 3-day stretch, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Cary, North Carolina.
I will say that, because some people ask me, so what's the intimidation factor of one show versus another show? This show can be very intimidating. You have to be on your game, right? Why would I say that? Right.
I was gonna say, I think it's, I mean, it is very much, you know, in addition to it being, as Nick mentioned, just super smart people there and speaking at it and attending, it's also very much kind of more of an executive level crap. It is a, for lack of a better word, it's kind of a boutique conference. It's not, you know, it's not on the same scale by design as Used Car Week, where, you know, we can have upwards of 1,600 people there. It's not, certainly not NADA, where there's 20,000 people there. It's a very small, dedicated group. You know, 300-400 attendees who are there to be in sessions, to really, you know, gain everything they can from being in these sessions. You know, you go to a lot of conferences, including Used Car Week, and people are there for a number of different reasons to build clients, to, you know, build client networks, to, you know, have meetings that they couldn't otherwise have in person, you know, to record podcasts. This one, I think people are really there more than any conference we put on. People are there really for the agenda and for the, you know, the networking, certainly part of it, but for the, you know, education part of it. I think it is maybe one of the most engaged crowds in terms of people in session, paying attention, that sort of thing.
When I was there first, I want to say 2019, something like that. And thank you, Bill. Shout out to Bill Zadites for his generosity, kindness. He helped me see my first Auto Intel Summit show and experience it. And I think I remember, I know I remember John Passamato speaking. And I think it was Terry Shabesta was speaking in a room. And I think Tim Cox was also speaking in a room. And they are, yeah, there's maybe 30 people. And getting right down to business and talking at a high level. I was taking notes. I learned a lot. And I thought, man, this is really an amazing show. And then everybody I met in the hallway, yeah, was either an executive or a VP or somebody in finance or investments. I mean, yeah, really awesome. Which made it an amazing opportunity. Because you talked about Emerging Eight, Steve Greenfield, and investments. If you know, yet right, if you're ready to go and take your business to the next level, this is an amazing conference.
Absolutely.
Thank you for saying that. That those very kind words and anecdotes, and just to carry on with what Joe had mentioned, I think your experience speaks for itself, Jay. Is that folks in automotive and frankly, other parts of business too, they can't be successful being bashful. And we try to make it an atmosphere that there's a lot of engagement that you just described, that the speaker faculty is a very engaging group. There's question and answers that happen not only during sessions, but in those hallways, as you mentioned. It's definitely we try to provide a fertile ground for conversations to be had and what it germinates into, be it new relationships, new business development, new knowledge, whatever the case may be. It's fertile ground to be plowed, and we're very thankful to be able to offer it.
Yeah, and I think to your point, Nick, I mean, a big part of the reason why so many people there are engaging, you know, at least a small part of that is because this might, for a lot of attendees and even speakers, this might be the first, you know, Cherokee Media Group conference they've been to, or even first automotive conference they've been to. So naturally, you know, if you're new to a certain group, you want to try to meet as many new people as you can. And, you know, a lot of people are in that same boat. At this conference, so it does lend itself to people being more engaging and wanting to expand their circles.
So we're really lucky tonight. Well, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We have Jeremiah Wheeler next. We have several speakers lined up. I don't even know how we're going to fit it all in, but we're going to give it a shot. So do me a favor, stick around, because right after this, we're going to be live with Jeremiah Wheeler. You don't want to miss it.
Access is everything. Hi, everybody. This is Bill Zadites inviting you to become a member of CMG Premium. CMG Premium provides you with an upgraded level of knowledge, research, data, analysis, and much more. With VIP content curated from all of our industry verticals, you'll have more access with CMG Premium. Start your 45-day free trial by visiting autoremarketing.com and click on the green tab labeled Members. That's the green tab labeled Members at autoremarketing.com. Have access to more with CMG Premium.
Transport Auto Quoter is by far the leading auto quoting software on the market and the only auto quoter with a pro version that comes preset with accurate pricing for anywhere in the U.S. So you don't have to worry about it. The best part is that no change with your current software is needed. Just plug TAQ in and start booking jobs. Carriers can easily plug TAQ into their current websites and start making money right away. I bet you're wondering how we do this instantly and accurately 24/7. Well, constant analytics is the key. Our PriceWatch team is constantly monitoring current market conditions, paying close attention to seasonal and quick-moving industry changes. At the end of the day, it takes a lot of time and data to maintain good pricing, time that most of us just don't have on a daily basis. So free yourself up. Using TAQ Pro is really a no-brainer. Save time and money, maximizing your leads and optimizing your online investments. You'll finally be able to sleep well at night knowing that TAQ is on the job selling for you 24/7. Never missing a potential job.
Don't lose any more sleep worrying about missing leads. Get Transport Auto Quoter to quote the right price the first time, every time. Run your business with TAQ. Visit TransportAutoQuoter.com. All right, links are in the live chat. Here we go. This is cool. Please do help me wish a very warm welcome. First time on ATI, Jeremiah Wheeler. Jeremiah, can you see me and hear me okay?
I can. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks for taking the time. Please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. So, Jeremiah Wheeler, I'm the president of DRN Data, as well as MB Track. Both are wholly owned subsidiaries of Motorola Solutions Incorporated. I've been in the auto finance business for over 20 years. DRN Data, we're a data and analytics company that specializes in auto location intelligence derived from license plate recognition technology. So we have a lot of cameras in the marketplace that are ran by our recovery agencies. We have some fixed cameras in the marketplace that are mounted on in front of businesses for retail purposes. We do a lot in the insurance space as well, but we collect over 300 million license plate reads a month nationwide. We actually had about 310 million this past month. And then MBTrack is a nationwide repossession servicer. So we do nationwide skip, locate, and repossession services. And obviously it feeds off of the data and analytics that DRN is providing. So thanks for having me on the show. Looking forward to some great discussion with Nick and Joe. Hey guys.
And hello, Jeremy.
talking about the summit coming up.
Absolutely. It's great to see you as always, my friend. And as you referenced, a lot of data and analytics is right in your wheelhouse, but I'm excited about the conversation that you and I and two other distinguished industry folks will be having at the event, kind of delving into the human side of things of entrepreneurship and development. If you could just please give us a little preview, some of the thinking that you had with trying to put this panel discussion together that kind of brings a little bit of a human element side to all this investment, fintech development and such that will be very much discussed at the event too, but it takes people as well.
Yeah, so I think, and you know, I appreciate you reaching out and helping me develop and put together this panel. And you know, I think that bringing the human side out into the open as far as discussing it at a level of being the entrepreneur and how to develop talent and also develop products and services that really answer to, you know, the and solves the solutions for the problems that exist in our industry is a tough thing to do, but it's also really awesome to talk about. And so when you brought it up to me, I reached out first was Stephanie Hansen, and I said, hey, you know, that's one of the first names that comes to mind whenever I think of really smart technology executives that have done really well and knows how to build a business and build a product. And so and then Stephanie kind of helped me take it from there and build the rest of the panel out. And then, you know, I think talking about some of the, you know, things that we do as business leaders that really drives us to get up every day and burn the candle at both ends, if you will, is really something that I'm looking forward to. And I think it's a passion that some of us have that really drives us to be in another arena as far as just kind of focusing on the future and not getting bogged down in the current stuff. And so also, you know, one of the emerging eight companies that I'm really lucky to sit on the board for is another awesome institution that I'm looking forward to helping promote in the near future as well. So it will be a really action-packed show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thanks again for being a part of it. It's definitely, I think this session, you might agree, Jeremiah, you've been involved with our events for some time now. This particular session might be as unique as we've ever had at a Cherokee Media Group event. So thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Jeremiah, follow up for you, buddy. You know, working for a company that is owned, you know, by telecom in the telecom space with Motorola, and then you know, through the people that you've met through business school and that sort of thing, what are some takeaways you've learned when it comes to technology from other industries that you're applying to your position, and in specifically the you know, the LPR and you know, repo space?
Well, I think probably the biggest takeaway from being bought by Motorola, which obviously has a lot of really great leaders, you know, telecom is a small part of what they do, but I think their bigger, more overarching goal is really solving for safer. You know, they want safer schools, safer hospitals, and safer communities. And so doing those things really involves video security and access control, you know, radios, and also software solutions for public safety and a variety of other customers, enterprise. And so I think the one thing that we really wrapped our arms around that I think we were doing okay, but we weren't really embracing it completely, is the ability to really build great technology and scale. The scale part is really the hard catalyst, if you will, you know, the chasm to cross when you're building a company, because not only you have people that obviously people we get in our own way sometimes. And so being able to look past that and be able to scale beyond, you know, I think it's one thing that Motorola has helped us do tremendously. I mean, we've seen it with the release of our latest AOPR mobile camera system, the L5M, and you know, it's night and day difference from the older technology that we were producing prior to that. Much cleaner, better, scalable, faster. I mean, it's just leaps and bounds. And you know, we manufacture all that, Motorola does, in Texas. And so other than that, I mean, I would say that having access to really great talent is another thing that's really helped us a lot, with recruiters internally, an entire team that helps us go out and really resource the right level of talent when we're looking for people has been a huge help for us. So there are a lot of benefits. And then obviously the benefits and the, you know, the options and things of that nature that a large publicly traded company brings to the table is something that I think really kicked us into high gear.
I'm looking at the agenda. I'm just going to share it here, and I'm playing catch up, and I like what I'm hearing. It sounds really next level. And you know, as a conference attendee, I'm looking for panel discussions that go beyond what might other seem like typical, you know, area stuff. So this sounds really interesting. And I love that we got a sneak preview. And Joe and Nick, thanks for jumping in there. So here's what we're going to do. Moving right along, we're going to bring in Alan. Jeremiah, we'd love to have you stay with us as we bring in Alan. And that goes for, you know, if anybody needs to go at any time, please feel free to do that. But this is an Auto Intel Summit party. And all right, so Alan, Here comes the invite. I'm admitting Alan to the room right now. Hopefully he's ready to go. First time on ATI. I already started the drum roll. I don't even know if we're ready. But that's the way we roll on ATI. There he is. Perfect timing. Alan, can you see us and hear us okay?
I can see you and I can hear you.
Great. Please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alan Nonasinkum. I'm currently a chief operating officer at AIM. We are essentially a used car factory, a large-scale reconditioning facility that's designed to buy cars from a bunch of different sources, recondition them professionally, and then provide them to dealer partners. We're entirely dealer-facing. Our operation is building cars for the dealer community and trying to create an increased efficiency in our used supply chain. I've been in the business my entire working career. Started in a dealership, worked in finance at Wells Fargo, HSBC, worked in valuation at ALG with residual values, and spent the last 9 years before my current role at TrueCar in the digital marketplace space. I've been able to see this industry from a bunch of different vantage points. And while I consider myself a friend of the Auto Remarketing podcast, I am an aspiring friend of the ATI Auto Business web show.
Wow. Thank you. That's really nice. Appreciate that very much. Joe, Nick, help me out. Please jump in and take it away.
Sure. Well, Alan, first of all, good to see you again, and appreciate you you speaking at the event and joining us here on the show. You know, you mentioned just the number of different vantage points you've seen the industry through, and currently, you know, with AIM, what are some of the? And I know the session you're going to be talking about is lessons learned kind of in the used car space. What are some immediate ones that come to mind, especially from your current vantage point as somebody who works for a as you described, used car factory?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say we've probably seen 20 years of evolution in the last three in our industry in terms of how rapidly things have happened. But let me take a half step back and to explain what I want to talk about with the audience. Mm-hmm. There's no shortage of data for us to look at. And the way that I tend to think about this is there's the what, there's the so what, and then there's the now what. There's tons of what out there, plenty of data for you to look at and review and ingest as participants in this industry. What's critical is to talk about the so what and distinguish the signal from the noise. What are the things that we should be paying attention to as opposed to the things that are one-offs or black swans or things that aren't necessarily going to turn into long-term impacts? And most importantly is the now what. Data with insight absent action and decisions is not as effective as it could be. So what I hope to share with the audience later this month is what conclusions should we draw and what actions are there out there for us to take based on what we've learned over the last 3 years. There's been tons of success. There's been some failure. There's been rapid changes in inventory levels and pricing and the consumer experience. And some of those things have been entirely successful, and some of those things have been, you know, fits and starts. So really important to try and make sense of all of this. And I'm gonna contribute my two cents to it later this month.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Alan, it's great to see you and speak with you again. And wanted to ask you to elaborate. I love the analogy that you've used in the past, another of your passions being basketball and the triple-double, and how a successful basketball player, if he or she can put that together, they've had a successful night on the court. How does automotive really lend itself to being having a triple-double approach, and the fact that if you're a dealer, you should probably know about retail service and inventory management, or if you're in finance, you should know about underwriting, collections, and recoveries? Just how important is it to really be diverse no matter what part of automotive you're in?
Yeah, so you know, our industry is filled with some of this country's greatest entrepreneurs. And the success that they enjoy comes from exactly what you're talking about, Nick. It's necessary but insufficient to have certain skill sets. You really need to have that diversity of talent. And I think the best evidence of that is if you look at the the failures that we've seen in our industry, or the times where we've gone through the greatest difficulty, it's generally been because we've been caught with too many of our eggs in one basket. So you think about dealerships over the last several years. The ones that have diversified have had strong fixed ops focus and been able to insulate themselves from the highs and lows of certain segments of the market, certain brands, certain vehicle types. They've had the most success. And I think one of the key lessons that we take from it is you want to make sure that you're anticipating where the market's going, but you've got a diversity of effort to really insulate yourself from one segment or another.
I had heard used car factory before when I was told about you and your panel, and that's it. The diversity of knowledge, you can't just know one vertical. I built a whole channel on my agreement of you've got to know how they connect to fully run your business. So, Alan, thank you so much for joining us. Stay on, because here we go. We've got to bring in, I think Micah is up next. Oh, John, we have John Foley up next, then Micah. So, John, all right, here we go. Fingers on the buzzers. Drum roll, please. Now, I know I got that drum roll early, but we'll see what happens here. John Foley is with Recharged. He's joining us now. And everybody here is a featured speaker at Auto Intel Summit in a few weeks. So it's really appreciate everybody's time. John, can you see us and hear us okay?
I can. Can you see me and hear me okay?
We can see you. We can hear you. Please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, good evening. My name is John Foley, and I am the co-founder and president of Recharged. Recharged, we specialize in all things used EVs. We are on the front line of retail in the used EV space and learning a lot every single day.
So we're talking about a marketplace that is, this is cutting edge.
I hope so.
All right, so
I hope so. When you know our if you come to our experience center, all of the vehicles you'll see are either fully electric or plug-in hybrids. Online, what you'll find is that inventory, but it's paired with a lot of education. Really helps to answer a used EV buyer's questions around charging and ownership and everything in between.
Which is probably, I bet once you get started with questions, they just keep going.
Yeah, that's right. And I think for the person who's never, considered a used electric vehicle, there are a lot of questions, and every time you ask one, you uncover three more that you didn't realize you needed to ask. So
in your session, what's your session about?
Well, we are going to have Elena Ciccatelli leading our moderating our session, and I've got Jimmy from Plug on stage with me, and as well as Dan Sadie, who's another operator. And there's just a wave of used electric vehicles coming to the market, and so we get the opportunity to talk a bit about what are the things that dealers can do to prepare for that. And some of the things that you guys just mentioned, whether it's, pricing and reconditioning, et cetera, but how can we help dealers be prepared for that wave of inventory?
And John, good to see you again. Thanks for being a part of the event and for chatting with all of us here tonight. Beyond just the normal, challenges that would come with starting a business in the first place, what do you see as a frontline dealer who's selling used electric vehicles? What are some of the top challenges you're seeing in that space right now? And then, what are some of the big opportunities that you've seen over the past, year and change that you guys have been operating?
Yeah. I really mean it when I say I get more excited about this opportunity every single day. And so the biggest challenge is, how can I grow this as quickly as possible and help as many buyers as possible, because we get so much positive feedback from our buyers on the experience that they're getting today. So, you know, there are a million different solutions that I'd love to provide. You know, hyper focused on the retail side today. We've paired our you know, our education online. We've introduced the Recharge Score report. You know, I want to spend more time there. I want to help, you know, introduce that to dealers, but it's kind of just really staying focused on putting one foot in front of the other and getting there. So,
yeah,
John, it's great to see and speak with you again, as you just alluded to a bit, just how much is that going to be the important factor going forward, as traditionally with a internal combustion engine, you could pull dipsticks and check fluids and do other things, where with an EV, the battery is the crucial component, and getting our hands around the health of that battery and that sort of thing, just the health of the EV going forward. Just how do you see that unfolding, and how much is that going to be the crucial component into more people considering a used electric vehicle and then eventually making that purchase?
Yeah. You know, I always remind people when they come in and ask, and a lot of times people ask about the battery. They don't know a lot, but they're just asking because they feel like they're supposed to ask. And you don't see, you know, people come onto a used car lot and ask, like, what's the health of this Chevy Tahoe's engine? You know, but we all trust that that engine's going to last, you know, a certain amount of time. And so I think that the day will come in the future that, you know, we all have a bit more confidence in the performance of these batteries and their life, and that question will stop being asked. For me, you know, when I think about all of my frontline experience in the used car space and building out that Recharge Score report, you know, the battery is just one component. And how do I, you know, as a buyer, how do I take that information and pair it with the market pricing and the history of this vehicle and decide, like, is this a vehicle I should consider or not? And so that's where the Recharge Score report was born.
That is an awesome point about the engine. That's really interesting. That seems like such a new area of concern, anxiety, and worry to get into, that then the questions just really run. I know that might be out of place, but this is where, you know, I got to tell you, Nick, Joe, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, we all have a different perspective of what it is that we're seeing and hearing and learning and the questions we have. And it just, John, it just made me think of, it's pretty exciting. The education landscape that you're on, is ripe for many questions and people looking for good information. So that's really exciting. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
Yeah, thanks really for having me.
I'm trying to keep moving quickly because I don't want to take any too much time from anybody. We got three more guests, so here we go. Let's jump into the next one. This is pretty amazing. He's back, Micah Tendorf, Kelley Blue Book. Micah, please get ready. Here we go. We're adding Micah, and this is an Auto Intel Summit. Featured speakers live. Probably the first time this has really been done, I'm thinking. Micah, can you see us and hear us okay?
I can indeed, Jay. Can you see me and hear me okay?
We can see you. We can hear you. It's like the podcast stage live preview, right?
I know. But I'm excited about it. Jay, good to be with you again. Nick, thanks, and Joe, Micah. Good to see you guys again. Jeremiah, Alan, John, looking forward to meeting with you guys here in a couple weeks.
Micah, do us a favor. Please say hello. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. Hello, ATI Universe. My name is Micah Tendorf. I have responsibility for the Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer business within Cox Automotive Inventory Solutions business. And really what we're focused on is maximizing dealer returns on every vehicle. And what we've seen in the data is that for a lot of our dealers, some of the best and most profitable inventories coming out of the service drive. And as the new car market's really picking up from a day's supply perspective, meaning we have a lot more new availability, we're actually seeing used car availability shrink in market. 1.4 million vehicles less off lease this year than last year. We're looking at 44-day used car supply. So what we're hoping to chat about at the little later this month is how you can build a service drive acquisition strategy that benefits your variable ops and your fixed ops department to really drive that profitability and get those used vehicles in a time where we're hearing from a lot of our clients used vehicle availability is really a challenge again.
Yeah, the timing is good there, Joe.
Well, Micah, thanks for being here with us. And, you know, the title of your presentation is Making Strategic Wins in Your Service Drive. And I imagine, you know, when you say wins, those wins can come in different forms. What are some of those wins that a dealer can have, you know, in their service drive when it comes to acquisition?
I think the primary win starts with building an aligned fixed and variable ops benefit strategy. I think a lot of times when a dealer looks at a used car acquisition strategy out of the service drive, it's either heavily focused on variable ops or fixed ops. And it can be preference to fixed ops to the detriment of variable, preference to variable to the detriment of fixed. So I think the first and biggest item that I can focus on is building a strategy that benefits both organizations, a strategy of when the vehicle should stay with the consumer and it should be run through and get that RO revenue versus when it'd be better to help that consumer by flipping them into a used vehicle. I think the other thing that's a really interesting opportunity right now is figuring out how to solve the pay plan problem. Talking about how to acquire used cars from your service drive is not a new idea, right? We've been talking about this forever. Dealers have been doing this forever. But where there's a challenge is the fixed ops departments paid on ROs and used car departments paid on buying units. And if I buy a unit out from under a service writer, that revenue is coming out of their pocket. So I think the second area of really tremendous opportunity is to build an aligned pay plan that benefits both sides of the house and drives that aligned strategy from the dealership's perspective, not looking at it as what is best for fixed, what's best for the variable, but what's best for the dealership in building an aligned strategy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to your point, I mean, they've got to have incentive. If somebody's, you know, making money off of how many ROs they have, you know, they need incentive to be able to, you know, being willing to buy those vehicles as well.
Yeah, 100%, Joe. I mean, you're only going to get as many opportunities out of the service drive department as your service team's willing to help you facilitate. Yeah. So you really have to build that line strategy. And what's interesting with technology, it's a lot easier now. Everyone is running a full gamut of tech stacks. And there is an opportunity to unite your inventory management solution, your service drive solution, and whatever you're using for appraisals into what would make it a much easier process than it has been in the past. And that's one of the things that I think is a really interesting opportunity right now, where 5 years ago when you did this, it had to be a manual process. Now there's an opportunity to do it digitally and really reduce the level of change management that all of our dealer partners have to undertake for a new program.
Mike, it's great to see and speak with you again. And thank you again for making the time tonight, as well as during the events later this month. And as I'm formulating this question, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer of the group, but I have the Price is Right sound effect in my head of the boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, that perhaps it's a vulgarity of negative equity of that situation. Just how important is it to maybe be cognizant of that as perhaps that beautiful Denali, Yukon Denali ends up at the service drive, that perhaps the person who wheels it in is maybe $5,000-$6,000 underwater on that vehicle? Just not trying to derail the potential there, but how much do dealers have to be cognizant of that element?
Nick, that is one of the most pertinent questions right now. If you think about vehicles that were sold in the second half of 2020 through the first half of 2022, almost all of those consumers are underwater because you bought above MSRP by a couple grand, most likely. And as we're nearing the three-year flip mark for those vehicles that were sold in late 2020, not just off-lease, but used vehicles as well, more and more dealers are going to have a strategy how to move somebody who's underwater. And what is interesting about it is that's where some of the greatest opportunity exists in the service drive. And the reason for that is as you go into the process of identifying who's coming in for a service appointment and do they match my inventory stocking strategy, you also have the ability to do a little quick math on where was that vehicle likely sold, where's the likely payment, and start to identify, is this something where I'm going to help them, or is this something where they're likely in a good position, equity position in the vehicle? And while you're not going to have the exact math on it, because it's in the service drive, it's your customer, and you know when they're going to show up, it's not one of those ups where a customer's walking in the door and I have to try to figure it out on the fly. You have a little more time to use your tech stack and really target the right customers. And whether that's you want to target underwater customers and provide them the best opportunity to flip into a new deal with a longer term or a slightly less expensive vehicle spread out over a longer term, when it's coming in through the service drive, you have at least 24-hour notice and you have time to build that strategy. So it's really one of the best opportunities now for dealers to work in an inventory stocking strategy despite what is going to be a wave of underwater clients here in probably a month or two.
Indeed.
Wow. That gives you something to think about. If anybody out there that bought in Q3, Q4, 2020 is thinking about what you just said and seeing if that applies. And then, being underwater, it's when it gets pretty real.
It does. And I was obviously painting with a broad paintbrush. But if you just look at the used car prices then versus where they are now, you know, dealer profit, if we look at dealer sentiment, profitability index is the lowest it's been since Q2 of 2020. Dealers are not feeling good about profitability right now. It's because we came from those profitability highs of 2022 and early 2023. And if dealers are feeling that way, consumers are certainly feeling that way. So it's a really interesting time to build a strategy to help your consumers out as they're coming into your service department, as they're coming into your used car department. So it's definitely something that we're all going to need to start thinking a lot about and paying attention to in the industry.
And the way you talk about it, I already feel better. Even if I'm super underwater, Micah, you make me feel better about it. So
there's always a way to make it happen, Jay.
Right. That's it. There's a way out. All right, let's do this. We have two more guests. Please do help me wish a warm welcome. We've got Neil with Raven is up next. So, Neil, first time on ATI. Please do help me wish a warm welcome to Neil Alliston with Raven AI Vehicle Inspections. Neil, can you see us and hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you see and hear me okay?
We can see you. We can hear you. Let's keep the party rolling. Neil, please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Sure. Hi, everyone. So this is my first time to the show, so it's great to be here and nice to meet you all. So my name's Neil Alliston, and I'm the head of product at Raven AI. Raven is a business, so we're using artificial intelligence to improve the vehicle inspection process. We actually started in the rental business, so replacing the manual check-in, check-out piece of paper, someone's going around the car, with camera systems. And the technology has evolved. And one of the areas that I'm going to be talking about at the conference is allowing dealers to be able to remotely assess a vehicle, to be able to remotely appraise a vehicle, so their customers don't have to come into the store. We know that there's a lot of change, particularly younger customers. They're very digitally savvy. They don't necessarily want to come and have the traditional experience. And we're providing tools to help dealers to engage with those customers and compete with the digital first platforms. So it's an exciting space. As part of the talk, we're also going to talk more generally about artificial intelligence and where it's going and what's hot and what's not. And hopefully kind of impart a little bit of insight. So my background is I've spent the last 10 years building AI products, primarily for large industrial sectors. So Raven was started around 5-6 years ago, and that was my first real experience of mobility and automotive. So it's been really interesting learning and applying some of those learnings from outside of the industry. And I think we're going to have a really good conversation at the show.
Wow,
Bill, it's good to meet you, and great to have you as part of our event. Want to get a sense of, so you know, we talk about, you know, Micah just talked about, you know, getting the the consumers who are in the service drive, you know, using that as an acquisition technique, you know, as part of that is also the, you know, just acquiring vehicles from consumers, whether they're a customer or a, you know, a service customer or a, you know, purchasing a new vehicle, they're just cars that are on the street, just going simply to get those cars from consumers. To what degree does that appeal of, you know, buying cars from the public kind of go hand in hand with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think it's a key driving factor. So it's a great question. And clearly the cars from the public, getting that inventory, it's appealing inventory. It can also lead to a sale. So there's some potential upside, same from the service lane. But up until now, the process has been fairly manual. So mailers have gone out and emails have gone out and trying to get someone into the store. Now there are sometimes for logistical reasons, people can't get into the store, but also just for preference reasons, people don't necessarily want to come into the store. So this is a big opportunity with the dealers that we work with. They're very excited about this as a possibility. And we're just trying to provide them with the tools to make that as easy as possible. And one of the big challenges is, as someone who's trying to sell my car or trade in, I don't want to spend a ton of time like doing the inspection for you. So it's how efficiently, how quickly can we get the inspection data? Can we augment that with our artificial intelligence and then provide it to a dealer so they can actually put a number on the vehicle? So it's not about just providing a general price. It's about actually something that they'd be comfortable writing a check.
Neil, thank you so much for your time tonight, as well as making time for the Auto Intel Summit. Tapping into your industry expertise and experience, just about AI in general, just how important is it that we all keep in mind that it can be a tool, when used prudently, can benefit all? That's perhaps there are some out there that are frightened, to be frank, about what AI can or can't do and that sort of thing. Just how important is it for all of us, be it in automotive or any industry, to kind of keep in mind that AI can be a tool just like anything else when used properly?
Yeah, so I think that last sentence really sums it up. I'd consider myself an AI realist. There's a ton of hype right now. There's people talking about how the whole world is going to change, whole society is going to be upended. I think really what we're seeing is an evolution of a series of technologies and analytical techniques, which have been evolving for the last 20, 30 years. So they are becoming more powerful. But I think really, you know, as a technologist, we always have to start from what are the problems we're solving. It doesn't really help to have this general thing and talk in these abstract concepts. What we're really trying to do, and I think what's important to remember about AI, is it is a tool that's good at solving certain problems. For example, something we do is a thing called computer vision, which is looking at pictures and trying to interpret them. It's very good at that. It's not very good at lots of other things. And I think that's important to remember, is it's a screwdriver meant for doing certain things, but it's not going to be great at, you know, hammering in nails, to stretch the analogy.
Yeah, in Nick and I's profession, you know, AI can be useful to, you know, for example, interview transcription, and kind of give you an outline of, you know, when did Neil say this in the conversation, what, you know, to go back and transcribe that quote, et cetera. But it's not going to necessarily write, it can, but it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to write a story and do all the reporting that Nick and I are doing. And, you know, it could be a tool, but it's not a catch-all, do-all for every task you need to have happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Joe. I was going to jump in and say that. So in the past 30 to 60 days, I've been learning more AI tools, since media is my focus. Just in media alone, there's dozens of tools.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you learn about AI in whatever area you are, and its applications. Then when you learn more about Neil is talking, it makes you realize this new landscape, there's so much to be done to improve the process. I started thinking about MICA and underwater AI. You know, like, there are so many tools, but these are tools. They're not substitutes or replacements. They're incredible tools. And it really is a whole new, I'm going to say landscape again, but I mean, it's amazing where we're headed with these adaptations of what we know as knowledge and how it helps our business. So awesome stuff, Neil. And I've learned a little with Elleron, and there was actually a video going around that I did with Elleron Raven on ATI. So it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us, Neil. Do me a favor. We are almost done. I know that we're moving quickly. This is an action packed 40 minutes, 45 minutes we got here. So here we go. Final featured speaker here tonight on ATI. Oh, I gotta let him in the room. Jay, you can't leave him in the waiting room and expect to, what's he gonna do, call on the phone? Here we go. Please do help us wish a warm welcome. It's been a little while since John was here live with us, but he's here now. John Possumato, drive it away. John, can you see us and hear us okay?
I can see and hear you. Can you see and hear me?
We can see you. We can hear you. Rounding out the bench here on April Madness on ATI. John, please say hello and tell us a little bit more about you.
Sure. Hello. I see a whole bunch of old friends on here. I've been very much listening and enjoying the show so far. Sort of a letdown with me on it. I just want to hear other people talk. I'm John Possumato. I've been around the car business, I think, forever. At least for 3 decades, and I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Drive It Away that's ushering in micro leases, a whole new way for personal vehicle acquisition. It's software basically designed for dealers, but we actually run cars ourselves on it as well.
So I'll start by saying, John, it was my first Auto Intel Summit, and I met you. I think you were one of the first sessions I sat in, and then I think I believe I introduced myself to you. We talked a little. So the Auto Intel Summit, I want to hear, what do you have to add about this particular show? Joe said it's a boutique show, professionals, upscale. Tell us more about what to expect.
Well, it's actually one of my favorites, and it's unique in that I describe it as where auto retail meets fintech, meet smart money, right? And you rarely get a show that has all three of those, particularly in a setting, as Joe said, where you can listen and evaluate and go to the sessions and meet folks. There's a lot of conferences that have one element or maybe two of those elements and very few that have all three. And AI Summit really carved a niche in that. And for companies like ours, right, which kind of cross the border, and a lot of other folks on this podcast or across the border of all three, it's a unique experience, something not to be missed.
Thank you so much for those kind words, John. Really great to see you again, and look forward to seeing you again in person later this month in North Carolina. I guess just from your general perspective, we've touched on like the subprime credit tier and EVs, that some people think that those two categories can't have a relationship. Why is that a misnomer? Why is that misunderstood?
Well, if you look at what's happening today, cars in general, whether they're ICE or EVs, are just too expensive, right? Kind of the middle tier is getting priced out of the market, and the subprime tier is out of the market. And I just heard some reports from J.D. Power, and if you look at the numbers that's been reported in auto remarketing, right, there's fewer and fewer subprime folks getting bought, right? It doesn't mean they don't need vehicles. It doesn't mean they don't want to get bought. It means they're getting shut out of the market. And when you have an atmosphere like that, and you have EVs, which are typically higher priced, particularly on the new end, the two aren't compatible or don't seem compatible. What we see, though, is if you change the financial instrument, and again, we see a micro lease or a subscription as an evolution, right? I mean, first you just bought cars, then you financed cars, right? Then consumer leasing came out and it made the payments more affordable and really exploded on the luxury and near luxury end. We see this as the next phase to allow people to drive cars, right? Think of it as an open-ended lease. Without a financial commitment, but with the benefit of being able to purchase at any point in time when that collateral is low enough where that person can afford that vehicle. But they're driving it at complete time. But the quick answer to your question is that EVs are a risk. They're usually a little bit more expensive, right? And so you don't see that in the subprime market. We flip that on its head, though, and say, well, if you make it affordable in a financial instrument, it actually is better for subprime. You realize your fuel costs go down. So there's a couple $100 extra each month that you get. But you've got to break that barrier. And part of breaking that barrier is just getting people into the vehicle in a non-committal form where there isn't any long-term financial commitment up front.
Well, John, your session at the Auto Intel Summit's going to look at the future of EV sales. And you're going to be, it's sort of a fireside chat of sorts with Jimmy Douglas, founder of Plug, which for folks who are new to that company, they're an online auction that facilitates the sales of used EVs in the wholesale marketplace. So, you know, part of the challenge, you know, we're seeing in the used EV space is the ability to predict residual values. How do you see that impacting kind of the wholesale side and for folks like Jimmy and his company Plug that are in that space selling or as a marketplace to sell used EVs?
Well, it's sort of a paradox, right? 45W with the incentive makes it very lucrative for most manufacturers to lease EVs because they have the full 7,500 credit without sourcing requirements, right? But as you say, on the flip side, it's, wait a second, the numbers have nothing but plunged on the used EV, and how do I predict residual? And I think Jimmy's going to have a great contribution and conversation on that, of why he started Plug, what Plug does, and how it creates a more fluid, predictable market on the used car side. Now, we pair that with these used vehicles are great buys. So if you put them on a micro lease basis, they're really, really affordable for the average consumer, right? If you can get past the, hey, is it suitable for me, which is why the financial instrument is important. And with our instrument, and this question comes up a lot, is how can you predict residual value? And my thing is, I can't, but I look at it as a mark to market for a portfolio of securities, right? I don't know where the security is going up or down any particular day, but I do know where I am every day, transparency wise, on what the value is versus what my carrying cost is versus my income. And with a micro lease on the operator can do that, right? They can mark to market every day. And if that collateral is up, they can choose to pull it out and sell it. And if it isn't, they can run it. But it's not a fixed term where, you know what, in 3 years, I got to throw a dart and figure out where that is and figure out whether I'm upside down. So I think the two of those things together create for a more transparent and predictable used EV market that propels it forward. And what's really fun is, I mean, Jimmy Douglas is on their side of this, and between the two of us, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is on where we see kind of the smooth out in the growth in EVs, particularly getting EVs to regular folks, right? Early adopters, like, I think they're exhausted, right? And so now it's got to get into real folks' hands right at the time that 70 or 80 more EV models are being introduced into the market.
I should mention that our in addition to your session, which is it's going to be on our Wednesday, the 24th at Auto Intel Summit, Thursday morning, we encourage everybody to kind of stick around because we've got kind of just back-to-back-to-back sessions that relate to the EV market. So if you're interested in that, you know, be sure to stick around for that part as well.
Thursday is EV day.
Yep, EV morning.
I wouldn't miss it.
You know, no matter how much you know, we're all professionals at something, but even just this random sampling right here proves that if you go, you will learn things you don't know. And that's one of the great things about the conference like this. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to give kind of a preview of what it is. 3 days at Auto Intel Summit. Take your brain pills, get some sleep, because there's a lot happening all day across 3 days. And I want to thank everybody so much for being here for this.
Thank you.
Being live and taking the time and risking it all. I want to thank Joe and Nick and Jeremiah and Alan, Micah, Neil, John, and John. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Really appreciate this.
Thanks again for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be in touch. I'm here to help. Let me know what I can do for you. All right, thank you so much. All right, here we go. I'll end the Zoom meeting. Here's the button. And that's a cut. Okay. All right, I love doing that. You know, it is. It's Hollywood. One night a week. Oh, yeah. And one afternoon a week. Two, Thursdays, Industry Logistics. If you can't get enough ATI, watch Industry Logistics at noon on Thursdays. Now, we focus on transportation and logistics, but there is still a lot to do. And in fact, this Thursday, we're going to do, I think the show is actually called Genius Marketing in Automotive, What Brokers Do Better Than Carriers. And it might sound like a niche, but when you go to ship a car, you want to know, well, you know, how complicated is this? And let's say you go to ship 100 cars. Let's talk about Assertus acquiring Guardian Auto Transport. Why did they do that? So there is a lot to talk about. We're going to do that this Thursday. I just, again, want to thank Joe and Nick and Jeremiah and Micah and John and John and Neil and Alan. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for taking the time. For you and the audience, I know that, you know, this is a lot to take in, but you just got a mini conference live on ATI, and so that's pretty cool. So, and shout out Cherokee Media and Bill Zedites. Thank you very much. Really do appreciate you. And all of the crew over at Cherokee Media and parent company SNA Communications. Again, I want to thank One Auction View, Murphy Auto Transport, Cherokee Media, Superflow Systems, Auction V Commerce. If you've got something to say, if you want to share something, if there is a topic, a company, a service, a team, or other in automotive, it's ATI Auto Business, here to serve. Episode 340 in the can. Thank you so much. I will run the car hauler. I don't know how much longer, but here's for old times. Enjoy, and we'll see you again hopefully Thursday. Thanks so much, everybody. Good night.